folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. I am here today in place of Melody Seastrom. I hope you don't mind too much. It's his financial survival, and we're going to be here today trying to bring you some news and current events. And I always start off with a guest tonight. We're going to talk to Wendy Wilson just in a few minutes with Apothecary Herbs. Before I do that, I want to go to the reports that Melody always does to do the best to do what I can to serve her the right way. We'll start with precious metals. Gold was a little bit down there, down $1.70 to $805.50. Silver dropped 17 cents, $22.93. Still trying to get over the 22 mark. Palladium was down 7 to $9.78. Platinum was down 7. Palladium was up 2. Only one was up, $20.85. So we had one metal up and three down. The Dow, all the markets were up today as far as U.S. markets. Dow was up 167 to 36,565. NASDAQ was up 521 to 17,786. S&P was up 1598 to 4802. 10-year yield was 1.54, up 0.06. Oil was, as usual, up again, 76 to 76.47. So what can I say, folks? We're going to see that continue to rise, I think, at a steady pace. It may go up and down, fluctuate some, but it's going to keep going up for a while. As far as overseas markets, the Nikkei, Hang Seng, and London were FTSE were all up. The only one down was Germany. It was down 110 to 15,852. So the markets were pretty good. Germany's only one was down at all. And metals again are gold's hanging around $1,800 $1,800 mark. And the dollar, the silver dollar, about almost 23. So still holding their own. And I think, folks, we've seen the base on the metals. I don't think we'll see much lower than that now. I think we'll start seeing them climbing up the first of the year. And I think at a pretty good pace. But like I said, our guest today is Wendy Wilson. Always with us on Wendy's, the most normally. And she is a wealth of information about what's happening, why it's happening. So let's bring our friend up, Wendy. Wendy, you there?
I'm here, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Todd, give her a little bit more volume. I want to hear her sweet voice.
But anyway. Too funny, Pastor Butch. Too funny.
Well, you know, laughter is good for us. You know that, right?
Oh, that's good for the bones. I hope you had a good Christmas.
Oh, I had a good weekend. Actually, kind of relaxed over that weekend. Everything was already done, so I just kind of sat back, relaxed, enjoyed the weekend.
Well, that's good. That's a really good
thing. It is good. It is a good thing.
Well, so, we're 70 degrees here. Yeah, we're 70 degrees here in North Carolina, so it's very unseasonably warm. Doesn't even feel like December. But I thought today we'd talk about the whistleblower buster because, you know, we don't hear many whistleblowers anymore. I remember in the 70s, the evening news would talk about them, and people were protected by the courts. And anyway, so I thought we'd dig this up and see, why is that? You know, after I read a lot of these reports and a lot of these journal articles on how bad the corruption is within your scientific research community, I wanted to know, you know, why are there not more scientists coming forward and exposing a lot of this fraud? Now, lately we've heard about some of these doctors talking about the COVID scandal, but we're talking about your standard, you know, scientific research that makes its way into drugs and medical equipment usage. So I went to our journal search engines and I typed in the word whistleblower. I wanted to see what came up, and lo and behold, a study on why whistleblowers are few and far between developed. So science is telling us they know why you are not hearing about their dark deeds, and they were reporting on it. What do you think of that, Pastor Butch?
Sounds interesting. Let's see what happens.
I know. So there are a lot of reasons why, you know, scientists may not want to, you know, blow the whistle on their colleagues and also the drug companies. Threats and intimidation are talked about in a situation like this. However, in 2017, this report was by Florida Atlantic University, and they found that financial rewards are very persuasive to help kill the idea of becoming a whistleblower. Here's a quote from their report. They say, financial rewards can discourage a whistleblower from reporting fraud in a timely manner. Financial gain can steer a person off their moral course in doing the right thing. End of quote. But you know what's interesting, Pastor Butch? They don't call it a bribe. giving them money, okay? According to their report, seducing someone with financial rewards to keep their mouth shut is not called a bribe anymore. No, no. According to James Weinberg, he's a PhD at Florida Atlantic University College of Business, he says they call it cost-benefit analysis. I didn't know.
That sounds so much better. That sounds much better.
Words of illusion, as pastors often say. Now, this is interesting because as a result, this is Stephen Parnell. He's a PhD at Providence College School of Business, and he says this. As a result, when you perceive risk of reporting, it's greater than the potential reward. He says people will be much less likely to report fraud than had they not been told about the existence of an incentive program to begin with. I think that's interesting. It gets twisted here, Pastor. It gets better. It's interesting how these intellectuals are looking at these things. They're twisting words. They're relabeling bad behavior as something less offensive and with a positive perception. So this research did get published in the October 2017 Auditing Journal of Practice and Theory. So they got this moral ceiling. I didn't know that, but yes, they do. They have a moral ceiling. And then there's this problem of having this ceiling in place to supposedly encourage whistleblowing, but they discourage it altogether, but in a very crafty way. For instance, there are companies and regulating agencies that offer financial incentives to whistleblowing, but only applies if the allegations are proven and they recover a minimum of $1 million for, get this, Pastor Butch, for the IRS. So those qualifications have to be met for it to be effective. So the research shows that the type of incentive is really a deterrent to reporting crimes. And didn't they just twist that around so nice, you know? Here's Florida Atlantic University again. They say research shows us that potential whistleblowers would report fraud via a whistleblower hotline when incentives were available. However, if the size of the fraud is less than the required minimum threshold, it was less likely the fraud would be reported in a timely manner. Well, you've got these conditions now for the fraud to be falling within that compass to be reported at all. They discourage you from reporting it. This is how criminal minds work, Pastor. They provide an illusion of doing the right thing with an incentive, but they install stumbling blocks to prevent the right thing at the same time.
Gosh, they sound like politicians, too. But anyway, go ahead.
So Florida Atlantic says this. They say what is really happening is the hijacking of the moral decision frame by financial incentives. Once that happens, whether or not to report the fraud will largely become a function of the individual's perception of reward adequacy in light of the perceived risk of reporting it. So it just changes the landscape for sure. You know, it takes and clouds the moral decision, the reason you said to yourself, hey, that's not right. And you wanted to report it, but now they've given you stumbling blocks to reporting it. Now, companies that are regulatory bodies, Pastor Butch, they know that when an incentive plan with thresholds is in place with regards to, let's say, whistleblowing, they know fraud reporting drops. It's less likely. That's why they do that. So this crushes the early detection of the fraud, which has a huge impact. Here's what Florida Atlantic says. They said this is particularly problematic since the early detection of fraud is a critical factor in minimizing potential damages and securing access to evidence, end of quote, which is true. So the incentive programs with thresholds encourages the whistleblower to delay reporting until, of course, the fraud is so bad it will increase the likelihood of meeting the $1 million mark before they report it. See. However, how likely... Yeah, I know. So how likely will waiting miss the opportune moment necessary to actually stop the fraud entirely? Because by the time that happens, you know, they've packed their bags and all the evidence has been destroyed, and what are you going to do about it? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. These guys are cunning. They really are. They're cunning.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I had no idea this is what it happened, you know, and this is the reason you don't hear about stuff. Now, here's an irony to all this. Here's the irony of these benefit plans. This is Gerald Martin. He's a professor of finance at American University of School of Business. He says, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder called on Congress to increase rewards for whistleblowers to improve the Department of Justice's ability to conduct investigations and stop misconduct. So what he was really doing is stopping the whistleblowing when he did that. Get it?
My. I get it.
Yeah.
These guys are... Yeah. They must stay up nights and think these things up or have a team help them.
Oh, they got a think tank, you know, that think these things out. And they thought out everything that you're seeing that's going on today to the detail. Absolutely. They know how people are going to react to certain stimuli. And so then they're prepared for that reaction. So whistleblowing in Washington, D.C., can be dangerous to one's health. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. That's been proven more than once.
Oh, I know. And so you just sit back and you go, wow, you know, we don't think this way. And it's hard, and it takes a lot of energy for good people, good moral people, to think like that. It takes a lot of energy for you to be a step ahead of people that think like that. It's exhausting.
Well, if you and I are not trained that way, we don't think that way. We're
right.
It's hard for us to go in that evil direction that far, so we can't really get ahead of them because we don't think that way.
Right. And so, you know, ergo, the scripture saying the wearing out of the saints.
Very true.
Yeah. So I thought that would interest your listeners and possibly you that they've gone about it in such a way that it discourages whistleblowing so that the fraud can continue and people that, you know, what does it do to the person that witnesses the evil deed and then can't do anything about it? You know, that's got to really weigh heavy on someone, you know?
And those who will take money to keep their mouth shut, do they have any conscience?
Well, see, you got to understand that when you see medical research committing fraud, that's down the road, that impacts thousands or millions of
that
people.
That does. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. They're having conscience.
You know? Right. And so they got to know that because they're in medical research. So then you have to ask yourself, we've got a lot of evil people in medical research. And now, you know, they can't even get the incentive because it's got to hit that $1 million threshold. So they have to sit back and they have to calculate now. Well, if I report it and it doesn't meet the threshold, it just doesn't get done anyway. And then I'm going to be looked at and scrutinized because I opened my big mouth. So, you know, this is how they work it. I'm just really appalled, but at the same time, not surprised.
Well, you know, it's maybe I should. This sounds terrible. We're probably getting seen now. But with all this that's happening, there isn't a whole lot surprising me anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, the depths of evils, well, the Bible says their thoughts are evil constantly. That's
right.
One of the signs of the last days. I mean, they lay in bed at night, the Bible says, to think up more things and do the next day, evil things they can do. That's what man does. And without the constraints of God's laws, and without the constraint of the church blowing the whistle, so to speak, and making a stand, there's no limits what man can do. Because Satan's his God.
Right. I was listening to one preacher say that, you know, what's happening now, even though it's hard to see what's happening now, eventually it'll get so bad we'll look back at this time and see that this was law and order and peace, you know. So what is about to unfold is going to be quite distressing for good people to watch. So I think stay close to the Lord, like you often say, read your Bible, pray.
Amen.
The Lord takes care of his own. So, but in the meantime, you know, be prepared as you can, stay healthy, use those elements that the Lord provided, and he mentions them in scripture that help you stay well without risking your health, and that would be the medicinal herbs he speaks of, and you just want to watch the diet, get the regular exercise in, and do your due diligence, and you'd be surprised how far you can go and how independent you can be of big pharma when you do that. It's, you know, because a lot of people just want to, you know, let the doctor worry about it, but folks, the doctor's not worrying about it. They're just not.
Well,
you know.
You're right. You're right. And they make money by doing, and I don't mean all of them, but all of them, they don't even know their sales. Most of them have no idea. I mean, today it's almost impossible, Wendy, to have a balanced diet with the food mm-hmm. you buy in the grocery store. It's almost impossible. That's why you need the supplements and vitamins, because
right.
we can't do it. The foods are depleted. They're GMO'd. There's no way
right.
that we can get a balanced diet. Very yeah. few of us can figure out how to do that or have the access to it anyway.
Minerals. It's all about minerals for sure. Improve that mineral
oh,
count,
important.
And you'll improve the health of a lot of metabolic functions. So a lot of internal medicine disorders are basically a lack of minerals. So, and what you're seeing with COVID is people low in iodine and zinc and a lot of other minerals, and they're crashing under this influenza. So
do you have good supplements on that line?
Sale? A lot of your immune boosting herbs are packed full of minerals, so you can stock those, use those. We have a catalog free. Anybody can call and ask for it at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Website, thepowerherbs.com. And you just take the power back, Pastor Butch. That's what you do.
Well, and folks, it does take work. It don't slide into it. This has been ingrained out of us. The food's been taken out of us. Matter of fact, the Rockefeller Foundation, Wendy, wants to start a move called the Table Reset. Reset the Table is the name of their project. They want to take over the world food supply to make sure everybody has enough to go around. They're on rice. And I'm not, this is all documented.
Well,
It's called the opposite. They
don't want to make sure everybody has enough.
That's the opposite.
You got to think they're meaning the opposite of that. So it's all going to be about starving you. That's what it is.
It is. Well, we heard about the Great Reset. This is Reset the Table, folks. This has been planned for a long time. And now the tools are to get it done. Give me a number again, Wendy.
Sure, 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Blessings to you, Pastor Butch.
All right, Wendy, talk to you soon. Back at the break, folks.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul. I am here today. Melody's not going to be with us, and most Wednesdays she's not any longer. She's done some other things, which is fine. She's a busy lady. She truly is, and she's a fine lady to be around. I know Marsh and I went up to the Eastern Shore to visit her this past summer. Had a great visit. She was a gracious host and had a great time with her, and actually stopped by and seen Todd and Don, at our producer there at their home, and had a great visit. I tell you what, folks, we're blessed to have people around us that are willing to work as hard as they do what they do, and both Todd and Melody are hard workers. I can do what Todd does. He's really dedicated to what he does. And Melody, of course, has been for years on her end. But give her a call at 800-375-4188. Think about buying the precious metal before the prices skyrocket, folks. And they're going to. No, I'm not going to give the date, but they're going to. They truly are. I want to start with an article here that I think is it's something we don't like to think about, but wars have been started over a lot of things. A lot of them have been started over economic crisis and hunger. This is entitled, Here's How the Energy Crisis Turns into Hunger and Then War. Folks, Germany's prodded into war, both World War I, World War II, through starvation. Japan was in World War II. Cut off their supplies, I say we, the Eastern nations, the Western nations, and it led to war. Well, this is going to be the same thing. I don't like to think about that. I don't even like to contemplate it, but it doesn't change it. You can't make something go away by pretending it's not there. You can't do it. This is what Wendy said, what I'm saying too. Make sure you're close to Christ, whatever you do. On my program tonight, I'm going to be doing some information, some teaching on the Mark of the Beast system. If you listen to our program at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, we'd love for you to join us and listen to that because the things were very important. But back to the article. We have previously warned about a whopping food crisis and supply problems in the fertilizer market. Well, now it's worse because that was before we had the natural gas crisis. Why is that important? Natural gas is the critical input into making fertilizer. Folks, I did not know that. Well, I knew it, but not detailed, but that way. Urea is essentially ammonia in solid state, the process of which entails reacting ammonia with CO2. And we all now know that to the climate Nazis, I said climate Nazis is what they are, that CO2 is currently the devil. The problem, of course, is that with no natural gas, there is no urea. With no urea, there is no fertilizer. With no fertilizer, well, I guess we have to eat each other, folks. But anyway, something else that we had noted some time back in Korea, but which now seems like a greater problem. Here is an article about an Australian farmer who warns a urea supply crisis could halt normal life within weeks. Now, folks, pay attention, because this is something that's happening right now. This isn't planned for the future. It's going on right now. And we're going to see it. We're already seeing it somewhat with inflation and food prices. We're going to see it get a whole lot worse. They're calling this a dark winter, and I think they'll be right. I don't know what's going to happen in January, February, or even March. But January and February, folks, could be some life-changing times for all of us. But here's what the farmer in Australia says. Not only will we not be able to grow cattle, and we will not be able to grow food, and we will not be able to grow grain or anything like that, but even if we could, we can't move it because we can't turn a wheel in a truck because we have no AdBlue. AdBlue is needed for diesel vehicles. Half all the trucks on Australian roads run on diesel. As of February, we might not have a truck on the road in Australia. We might not have the trains on the tracks. So quite literally, the whole country comes to a standstill as of February. Now, maybe this is over-exaggeration. Maybe this is too much. Maybe he's half off. I don't know, that might come out the wrong way. But maybe he's going to be half wrong. So only half the trucks shut down. Would that make a difference? How about a quarter of the trucks shutting down? Would that make a difference? Of course it would. Well, preacher, that's in Australia. That's not here. It can't happen here, though. We live in the USA. It can't happen here. Well, let's go back to the article. The farmer then goes on to say, go and have a look in your cupboard and go and have a look in your fridge. And I guarantee just about every single item there, at some point, urea has been used to produce that item, whether it's a steak or a salad or a can of baked beans. Moving to Europe, we have a full-blown energy crisis unfolding there, made worse by increasingly more destructive policies by the pointy shoes. Let's produce more solar and wind when it's proven to be both inadequate and massively costly in supply chain crisis. So they said, we're going, as I said on this program more than once, we're going to do a thing in the solar and wind. Folks, it will not work. We cannot build enough energy to do this. It will not work. And the cost is enormous. Far more than we realize. But back to the article. Take a look at the European energy crisis, not prices. Now, this is not the farmer speaking. This is another gentleman speaking. Take a look at the European energy crisis. So here we are now witnessing the beginnings of what promises to be a storm. Thank cold and hungry, and you got the right picture. The electricity comes largely from natural gas. The natural gas comes from those peaky Ruskies. Europe's benchmark natural gas prices rose above 100 euros, or $109 per barrel of oil equivalent, ahead of the series of auctions for pipeline capacity that are seen as a test of Russia's willingness to ease a supply crunch. The day ahead, auctions for space in Ukrainian pipelines and capacity at Germany's Mile-Now compressor station will provide a strong signal for how serious Russia is about increasing flows to the West. While the region's biggest supplier said it aims to keep refilling European storage tanks until the end of December, it hasn't used short-term auctions to ship more fuel. So right now, we have this situation which is going to make Europe's head spin. Europe is out of gas. They've spent the better part of the last decade getting rid of their own domestic energy, replacing it with baubles and toys, which, whilst scoring big on the woke scoreboard, have proven abysmal at producing electricity. Let me repeat that, folks. They went to all the wind power and all the solar power, all the baubles and toys, that they say. It has been totally inadequate. And now they have no backup. If the natural gas isn't there and somebody don't want to ship it to them, they're in trouble. With Europeans now cold and very shortly hungry, we are now due for a war. Repeat that. With Europeans now cold and very shortly hungry, we're now due for a war. Remember that historically, the spiraling food prices have caused civil unrest, revolutions, and wars. On the plus side, it's been known to also cure obesity. So there's that. Anyway, back to urea and food. You can't make fertilizer without urea and natural gas. As the price of either of these goes higher, both are, it significantly impacts the price of fertilizer. The price of fertilizer impacts in turn the price of food. This is because fertilizer is the second largest cost component of most agricultural production. The first thing, you guessed it, is diesel. We now have a bull market, not just in urea, but in natural gas, and to top it off, in diesel too. To expect food prices to remain stable with the ingredients to producing it all rocketing higher prices impresses us as comically stupid. To expect food prices to remain stable when the ingredients to producing it are all rocketing higher impresses us as comically stupid. Wow. Folks, that's a serious statement. It truly is. I don't know what to say. It is what it is. People get hungry, they get upset, they get angry. They can't feed their families, they become very upset. They will riot in the streets, they will cause all kinds of situations. Governments have to do something in order to calm the people down. And one of the most, and I witnessed this in my own lifetime, folks. Vietnam War, the Gulf War, all a manner of police action since I've been alive, since 48, have rallied the people together. Whenever we go to war, everyone starts waving flags and you know, praying for America. God bless America. We can't, God can't bless America, folks. We're still murdering our own children. They can't bless America. So don't wait for that. God can, don't even sing that song. Don't say that phrase. God can't bless America. He can't do it. Not without repentance, and it just ain't happen. But we're seeing these things all over the world now. And on a good side, though, for Europe, is this. LNG cargoes enter Europe as British power bills to remain high until 2023. Europe's energy crunch is far from over. But a flotilla of liquefied natural gas, LNG tankers, from the U.S. are set to resupply the fuel-starved continent. European gas prices fell for the sixth day, the longest decline in more than a year. Even though natural gas prices are retreating from record highs, household power bills, especially in Britain, are likely to remain high until 2023. This year, Dutch TTF natural gas prices surged more than 400% on low supplies ahead of the Northern Hemisphere winter and Russia's reducing flows. The news of the flotilla of the U.S. LNG tankers headed to the region last week began the decline, nearly halving gas prices. On Wednesday, prices slumped again, down to as much as 10% for the 6th consecutive session, but remained five times higher than the 5-year average. So they're still sky high. Even though new data shows the U.S.-EU shipping lane is clogged with LNG tankers headed for Europe, as many as 20 at the moment, there's reason to believe this will only be a temporary relief. Europe's gas problem may not go away next year, said Andrew Hill, head of the European Gas Analyst at Bloomberg NEF in a report on Wednesday. Geopolitical issues and acrimony with Russia, particularly around the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, will increase the scope for Russia to limit flows to Europe in the first half of the year and potentially much longer, he'll explain. The good news is that LNG supplies are entering the grid as current weather outlooks are mild for the time being. So Europe being a boxed in area with not much in the way of natural resources to do their own production with, are starting to feel the results. I guess you can say good for the U.S. for trying to ease the pain some, but it's not going to solve all the problems. There's no way we can supply everything they need in Europe and in the U.K., if Russia doesn't help and other countries don't join in. But before you say, well, you know, how did UK get this position? How come they got themselves in this position by doing all these woke things like this will use wind and we use solar to produce electricity? And when they found that they couldn't do that, it was too late. And don't laugh at him, folks. America produces nothing for itself any longer. Very little is produced here in America. Very little. As far as our own needs for supplies of anything from clothing to auto parts, very little is produced in America. Even our medicines are produced in China. So let that sink in. Don't look at Europe and say, boy, they shouldn't have done that. The UK, they shouldn't have done that. We've done it also. And it's already starting to buy. It's much worse. And back to the situation in America, of course, as far as inflation and what's happening with higher wages. Well, more than half the U.S. states will raise the minimum wage in 2022, but employers are hiking pay faster. California's largest businesses will be required to pay workers a minimum of $15 an hour in January. Now, folks, listen to this. It's a milestone fast food workers have been trying to achieve since 2012, but anti-poverty activists aren't satisfied. Anti-poverty activists aren't satisfied. Citing the state's high cost of living and rising inflation, they're pushing for more. Well, my friends, the more they raise the minimum wage, the higher inflation goes, because the people that run the businesses will make a profit. They will just pass it on to you and I. They'll pay them more, of course, but they'll take it out of our pockets, won't they? A lot of you folks remember this, but in the 1960s, whenever we had Johnson as president, he started the war on poverty. Well, poverty's increased since then, like the war on drugs. The war on drugs increased drug sales. So there's a reason behind this, folks. This anti-poverty movement is, they're not thinking about the poor. It's a political movement. Back to the article. Activist investor Joe Sandberg is financing an attempt to gather enough signatures in California to get a ballot initiative to in front of voters for the November election. Sandberg, who has talked about potentially running for president, wants to state minimum wage to hit $18 an hour for all businesses by 2026. We were a leader in pushing for the $15 minimum wage, but now we have to move the ball forward and further. It's overdue for $18, Sandberg told the Los Angeles Times. Next year, 26 U.S. states in Washington will raise their minimum wages, but only California and parts of New York will mandate hourly pay raise of at least $15, according to a report from payroll experts at Walters, Gruger, and Legal and Regulatory USA. So, they're moving out because prices and the $15 is not enough in California. It's not going to be enough anywhere else either, folks, because inflation will continue. Shortage of goods, for whatever reason, food and everything else, whatever the shortage may be causing, no matter what's causing it, inflation will keep on growing. We have a, as you all know, a fiat currency, a piece of paper that's not backed by anything. They're printing them off by the trillions, makes them worth less every day. So no matter how much you raise the wages, workers will not gain. Matter of fact, workers lost, even though they had the wage increases the last few months, workers lost over 2% in buying power last month alone. So think about it. We need this, just shrug our shoulders and think this isn't happening, because it is happening. Now back to the UK again. I don't mean to bring them up, but folks, they're hurting. Inflation surge puts UK on track for the year of the squeeze. UK households are heading into the year of the squeeze as surging energy bills and faster inflation eat into incomes, according to the Resolution Foundation think tank. In a grim report dated before the new year holiday, it said real wages will effectively stagnate in 2022, raising just 0.1%. In 3 years, that they'll be $996 a year lower than the pre-pandemic wage trend that has continued. UK inflation has already breached 5% and may hit 6% early next year, the highest in 3 decades. Now, folks, I'm going to say this. Now, listen to me. 6% UK. Last month, November, in America, 6.9. Admitted to. Actually, more like 9.8, the wholesale prices. But we're hitting almost 10%. They say they're hitting 6%. We're ahead of them. They said by the year 2025, they would have lost about $1,000 a year in buying power, even with the wage increases. Well, folks, that's just 6% they're saying. We're doing better than that. You figure it out. You tell me. If the wholesale price increases are 9.8%, according to their actual figures, do you think businesses are going to absorb that? And did you get a 9.8% increase in your pay last month? Make up the difference? For the food? Now, they don't count food and fuel. They don't count that as part of inflation in the government figures. But wholesalers count it because it counts. Back at the break. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, with that, back to the final segment for today's broadcast. Again, this is Financial Survival, and I'm Pastor Butch Paul, filling in for Melody Cederstrom. And her number is 800-375-4188. With all this news I've shared already, I shared with you, of course, on Monday's program about the food supply and the coming up with the reset table situation. Wouldn't it be wise, if you can at all, to prepare yourself for what's coming in the future? Maybe, hey, what if you stock up on some things and you don't need them? You still use them. They don't go away. But what if you don't stock up and you do need them? Let that sink in a minute. It's like getting out of the car and you're going to go on a trip and you know you don't have a spare. Odds are you make it just fine. But what if you don't? What if you have a blowout? What do you do then? Folks, planning for backup is a wise thing. The Bible says it's very wise. The Bible says that the wise man sees trouble coming and prepares himself for it. In other words, you hide yourself. He prepares yourself. That's what it means. I'd call Melody and talk to her. I really would. Now, this next article is something that I guess we've all got accustomed to. I did for a long time before I learned my lesson about credit. It's so easy. Pick up a credit card and order something. I'll pay for it over a period of 6 months or next month or a year. Whatever. I'll just pay for it, you know, in payments. We've all done that. Took me a long time to figure out that's not only wrong, it's ungodly, by the way. The borrower is servant to the lender, and that's something we should not be. But nonetheless, I did it. I learned my lesson. I don't do it anymore. If I can't pay for it, I don't get it. But more Americans took on holiday debt this season, owing an average of $1,249. And $1,249 doesn't seem like a whole lot, but folks, let me make this point. If they had to charge it in the first place, if they couldn't afford to pay the $1,249, then that means that $1,249 is a lot of money to them. Make sense? If they don't have the cash to buy it, and they put it on tab, does that mean they don't have the money right now and will they have it later? Just will they be there, you know, like next month to pay this off? I doubt it. So it's a lot of money for those to spend it. Despite COVID fears and inflation, holiday shopping season went great, says Jan Niflin. More Americans got into the spirit of this holiday, even meant spending more than they could afford. Folks, that's never a good idea. Between buying presents, plane tickets, and party supplies, 36% of consumers went into debt, owing an average of $1,249, according to a survey by LendingTree. Most holiday borrowers, with debt put in on their credit cards, although for the first time, nearly 40% of Americans used so-called buy now, pay later financing to spread out their expenses, the report found, which polled more than 2,000 adults. So, buy now, pay later. Oh, that sounds easy. Surely we can pay it. Surely we can pay it off, and you know, over the next year or whatever. We don't stop and think that things can happen with their jobs, with their earnings. Inflation keep continuing going up. Oh, I've got myself in a bind before in the past by doing these things. I know I'm not by myself, but I learned the lesson. It took me a while, folks, but even old hillbilly can be taught, and I learned the lesson. This next article I want to share, I'll read it, then I'll make some comments because I don't quite get this guy's outlook. Mexican billionaires, Christmas advice. Buy Bitcoin. Stay away from fiat. I'm going to read it, then I want to share some thoughts. The unprecedented monetary stimulus unleashed by the Federal Reserve and other major central banks to help combat the economic and destroying COVID crisis has unleashed hyperinflation, which has resulted in the spiring death of fiat. Of course, fiat meaning our currency, of course. On Christmas Day, Ricardo Salinas Pliego, Mexico's third richest man, tweeted to his million followers why they needed to ditch fiat currencies and purchase Bitcoin. A hug and all the success of the universe for all of you. May God give you health, desire to live and get ahead, and the world belongs to dreamers. Stay away from fiat currency. I totally agree with that. Totally agree. That's why you need to buy sound money, gold and silver. It's fake money made of paper and lies. Again, it's fake money made of paper and lies. He's right on. The central banks are printing more money than ever before. Invest in Bitcoin, Pliego said. Now, I got to ask this question. Yes, fiat currency is fake money. It's run on promises and lies and balk. And of course, the more balk you have of it, the more you have of it, the less you have of it as far as what it's worth. But where does Bitcoin come in as real money? Paper's in your hand, Bitcoin's on a computer. A glitch in the computer and it's going. How does it sustain its value? Oh, if you make it now and buy it tomorrow, maybe you'll get something out of it. But if you go and put your trust in it, and if there's a glitch in the computer market, or if there's an EMP attack and the computers go down, and folks, any of this stuff can happen any time, or the power goes off for any amount of time, it's lost. Maybe I don't see his point. Maybe I don't quite understand what he's saying. Maybe I'm not intelligent enough to understand that. I'm not a billionaire, that's for sure. I'm not a billionaire anywhere. I'm never being anywhere near that. So maybe this might, God's way ahead of me intelligence-wise, and that's why he's saying get out of fiat currency. I agree with that. But to get in something that's less tangible than fiat currency, my mind doesn't go there. I can't comprehend it. Maybe I should sit down and talk to this gentleman and explain to me what he means. Maybe y'all know what he means. I don't know, but I don't. We shared this one of these articles just a while back about the Go Make Autonomous Trucks to travel the highways. Well, guess what? They're doing it. First time, Autonomous Trucker Too Simple logs first no human road test. This is Associated Press. A semi-truck completed an 80-mile route in Arizona with no human on board and no human intervention during the trip using technology developed by Too Simple. That's T-U Simple, the company said Wednesday. The San Diego company says it's the first successful fully autonomous run by a Class 8 vehicle or semi on open public roads with no human intervention. The nighttime trip earlier this month started at a rail yard in Tucson, Arizona, and ended in a distribution center in Phoenix with approval and supervision from the Arizona Department of Transportation and Law Enforcement. A lead vehicle scouted the road for unexpected obstacles about 5 miles ahead of the autonomous semi, and a trailing vehicle followed about a half mile behind the truck was prepared to intervene if necessary, along with several unmarked police vehicles. Now, I got a question. If this truck's supposed to be autonomous, was it really an autonomous trip when it had somebody 5 miles ahead checking for obstacles? Shouldn't the autonomous truck know about the obstacles ahead of it? You know what it means? It does it on its own. Just question. And a car and a vehicle half mile behind tracking in case something has, they have to intervene. How do you intervene with a moving truck? I don't know. I'm sure there's a way. But how do you, send a mile an hour, 30, 40 ton vehicle heading down the highway, how do you intervene with that? I don't know, people. Just a question. Too simple said it's semi successfully navigated highway lane changes, traffic signals, on ramps and off ramps while naturally interacting with other motorists. This test reinforces what we believe is our unique position at the forefront of autonomous trucking, delivering advanced driving technology at commercial scale, said Too Simple CEO Che Liu. Too Simple says their drivers represent about 40% of all trucking operational costs, Its virtual driver can be operated for significantly less. It also estimates that the technology saves about 10% on fuel-related costs compared to human-driven trucks. So what you're saying is altogether, it'll be saving about 50% with the trucks over people driving the trucks. It'll be saving about 50% on a run. 4% of the truck driver's cost and 10% on fuel costs. That's really good, and that cost saving is good, but I have still a problem with the idea of that vehicle going down the highway, passing my family on the road, or your family on the road, and if more and more I'm getting on the highway, I don't know, maybe y'all grasp it, and maybe you can handle it, and it doesn't bother you. It bothers me. I just don't know how that's going to work for sure, although I do know one day, and I see it coming in the very near future, well, your car will be autonomous. You'll not have any choice to where you go. You're programming in. It'll take you where you want to go, but you'll be tracked and monitored 24/7 in your car. You already are. With the computers in your car, they already track where you go in your car. Already are. They won't find out they know. It's going to get much worse. I mean, you'll have pushing a destination. They will take you there. You're not having choices to pull over and do anything else. This is going to be autonomous, folks. Different topic. An important topic. U.S. Navy aircraft carrier strike group ordered to stay in Mediterranean amid Ukraine-Russia fears. We've been hearing this now for several months. And I don't know if it's escalated anymore on the border of Ukraine or not, but they're still hearing this. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier strike group to stay in the Mediterranean Sea region rather than move on to the east amid worries about the buildup of thousands of Russian troops near the Ukraine border. A defense official said Tuesday that the change in the schedule of the USS Harry S. Truman and the five American warships accompanying it reflects the need for persistent presence in Europe. It is necessary in order to reassure U.S. allies that partners in the region, said the official, who spoke on condition of anonymity, discussed military deployment details. The U.S. and Western allies have watched as the buildup for Russian troops near the border grew to a peak of 100,000, fueling fears that Russia or Moscow was preparing to invade Ukraine. Russia annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula in 2014, and shortly after threw its support behind a separatist rebellion in the country's east. Over more than 7 years, the fighting has killed over 14,000 people and devastated Ukraine's industrial heartland known as the Donbas. Russia has denied any intention of launching a new invasion and instead has accused Ukraine of hatching plans to try to use force to reclaim control of the territories held by Moscow-backed rebels. Ukraine has rejected that claim. Wonder, folks, who do you believe? I hate to say this, but I don't believe anything the U.S. says anymore. Very little faith in what the United States says. Our military has proven to be inefficient, but more than that. The politicians have been proven to be liars more and more every day. Different area of the country? Well, sort of, still close. Israel launches massive attack on Syrian port. Fires burn 14 hours. In the second major attack this month on Syria's key northern city, the port of Lakadia was struck overnight by multiple Israeli missiles, erupting in huge fireballs and massive damage, with the blaze appearing to burn into the morning and even afternoon hours of Tuesday. Syrian state SANA described that at around 3:21 a.m., the Israeli enemy carried out an aerial aggression with several missiles from the direction of the Mediterranean, targeting the container yard in Latakia port. SANA also said there was damage to a nearby hospital. By many accounts, this marked a much larger strike compared to a similar attack on the port weeks ago. Likely Israeli warplanes flying over the Mediterranean launched the attack, while some reports suggest cruise missiles. Again, Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars popping everywhere. Everywhere. I don't know what to add to that, folks. This is just what's happening in the world today. We're living in perilous times. Scary times. And everything is always on the verge of a blow-up. Not just financially and wars, but otherwise, it's just on the verge. And I think we need to pay attention to this. I think we need to pay attention that these are all items that could add up to something that could be catastrophic for people all over the world, not just here. It's happening everywhere. I mean, we're seeing in Brazil a different situation, but Brazilian dams are breaking. People are losing everything. The flooding in Brazil is causing problems there. In Hong Kong, the media outlet Stan News, which is an independent outlet, pro-democracy, shut down after arrest executives. So we're seeing a crackdown in Hong Kong over people that don't want democracy. Then China says we're going to close them down. They closed down Stan News. They closed down other outlets of, we'll say, freedom-loving people in Hong Kong. Of course, Taiwan is still up in the balance for what's coming down with that, and we're still being warned to stay out of Taiwan. Matter of fact, China told Taiwan, don't make a move. We may not like what you do. These are things we're seeing add up. Please, people, protect yourself. As best you know how. Take care of you and your family. And if at all possible, even help your neighbors. Call Melody at 800-375-4188 and talk to her. Also, look at alternative food supplies. If you can find some food, put it back. It's not going to get any cheaper. Even canned goods are better. Now, they'll last for years. It's not going to get any cheaper. Please. And it's going to get more scarce. Think about your future. Plan your future. Pray about it. And do what the Bible tells you to do, folks. Prepare for the future. Knowing that one day, if you don't have it, you need it anyway. If you don't need it, if you don't need it, you can eat it. Later on down the road. But if you happen to need it, folks, it'd be a blessing to be able to see your child sit there and eat a can of beans, if nothing else. And that's something to barter or something to buy you. Maybe a silver dollar or something. Folks, have a rest of the good week. Have a great New Year's. I'll see you next year. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.